I do want to speak to you tonight just on a subject that is not new, nor will it be strange to us, but on the judgment seat of Christ. The truth of the matter is that if there was any strong motivation to be in the will of God, it would be the judgment seat of Christ. That would cause us to want to be in that perfect will of God. You know, there's always the debatable issue about whether it's the perfect will of God, the permissive will of God, and all of this sort of thing. But when you think about it in light of the fact that one day we're going to have to face Jesus Christ, it causes us to want to be in the right place, the right time, doing the right things. And it's important to do that. And I'm much like one of the old writers that said, or one of the young writers that said of the old writers, I'd like to see somebody that's living like those old folks that were written about lived. I'd like to see it in my lifetime. I'd like to see folks bind themselves to the Lord and the sense of He is the Lord of their lives, and they would then in turn serve the Lord. And tonight I want to deal with that subject of basically just verses 9 and 10 to get our text of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, there's a lot said in these two verses before us tonight that we need to take into consideration. Just by way of introduction, again, I point out to you that accountability is the thought of answering to a responsible character or a supervisor or one that has authority over us. I am persuaded that knowing that there is a definite authority over us will cause us to act differently than if most of the time we were at liberty to do otherwise. Whether you can say it was good or bad, I can say it was bad, but if my dad was watching, things were done differently most times than they would have been done if he had not been watching. And I can be appreciative of the fact that there was an authority over me. I don't want to just make confession, but the truth is that I was a rebel at heart. And most of us were. And had it not been for some authority over us, then we would have done far differently and we would have turned out differently than we have otherwise. There was a statement made by a commentator, and I'm talking about a Bible writer, not an author of a book of the Bible, but in the sense of a biblical authority and author, that made the statement, we have to take every step that we take to make us to be the person that we are. And if the right person is over us, and we understand that, we'll take the right steps, and it'll lead in a real good direction. Whereas, on the other hand, it might not be quite so well. But just the thought of answering to a responsible character, and that word we use in the truest sense of the word and proper sense of the word of character, the one who has that part, that place in our lives. Was not always a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, as I point out, a rebel at heart, it makes a difference. There is a sense of liability when we think of the judgment seat of Christ, and that liability could be to pay or make good in case of loss. Now, absorb that one for a moment. If we don't do what we ought to do, we may have to pay for it down the road. I mean, there might be a loss in our lives because of the fact that we're not doing everything that we ought to do. And then there is a liability of being called to account. You know, whenever an employer has an employee or a number of employees, we know that there's always that possibility, but we're never sure when they might call us to account. In fact, there was a steward that was unfaithful, and the Lord used him as an illustration and pointed out that that man had not been faithful, and he might have to give up his place of stewardship. Now, that did not mean that, as in a spiritual sense, that he was going to lose his salvation. We're not going to even consider that, because we understand that when God saved us, he saved us by his grace. And if it be of grace, it's no longer of works. And so that's a settled issue. But that does not relieve us of the responsibility and the accountability at a given notice. Just for the Lord to walk in and say, this is time. Give an account of your stewardship. And this one that the Lord talked about, he began to do so, but he really didn't want to, because he himself knew that he was wrong. He'd a whole lot rather had prior notice. If I could take an aside, I have never really been impressed with a structured evaluation, where that a person comes in and you ask a half a dozen questions and put down a half a dozen answers and you evaluate them on that basis. I, like you, if I'm asked, I'm going to give them the best presentation I can. But when one calls us in unexpectedly and we're faced with issues, then there is that greater liability with accountability. And so we want to just think for a few moments on this subject, and then we'll close with a thought. But as we think about it, first of all, we're dealing on the basis of a believer, not on the basis of an unbeliever. Oftentimes I've been asked, well, what's the difference if the believer is going to have to face a judgment and the unbeliever is going to have to face a judgment? What makes the difference? Well, the believer deals with a loving Father on the basis of him being a loving Father, and we're accountable to him and responsible to him. But it's a family matter. Truth of the matter is, I never did try to get involved in my neighbor's kids any more than just absolutely necessary. I had enough to take care of my own. But yet my boys were accountable to me when they would not have been accountable to another. In fact, under the right circumstances, I would defend my sons. One of them came in one night, and I realized that he was wrong in some areas. You didn't know my children weren't perfect, did you? I figured that out pretty fast, that they weren't perfect. But Bobby came in, and he was in a hurry when he got home. Well, this guy came in soon afterwards. And he began to talk about what my son had done. And I don't question but what he had done it. But Bobby said, but the man cursed me. And I turned then and said to that man, did you curse my son? He said, yeah, and I need to apologize. And he did apologize. It made a difference as to how I was going to react. And I did correct my son. After the guy left, I said, now, Bobby, go up the street, stop at his house, and make a friend of him, if you can at all. And he did. He did what I asked him to do. But it was my son that I was dealing with, not my neighbor's son. And that's the difference between the accountability of a believer. But on the other hand, an unbeliever is every day dealing with an angry God who will judge sin and ultimately condemn the soul to hell that does not repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see there's a vast difference in the accountability. And if you want to call it a judgment, the judgment that we would have, what we would face at the judgment seat of Christ has a far different connotation to it than at the great white throne. And I'll mention that in just a moment as we close out the message. But so we're dealing with the believer's accountability in this particular case. I point out that he is accountable, the believer is, because of his relationship to God. Do you realize tonight that it takes on even new light when we put it in this context, that the believer is bought with a price? Now, you've been purchased as a believer. It's free to us. And oftentimes, I think we think in terms of this bleeding over into the whole situation. But God's going to deal with us as a loving father does his children. And I kind of like the way Solomon said it, that he'll chasten the one that he loves, even as a father does the son, in whom he delights. But we're accountable because of our relationship to God. And even though it was free to me, it wasn't free to God. I want you to know that our God, in the at least in this picturesque scene, went out and bought us off of the auction block, paid the price that our sin required, and brought us unto himself. And what amazes me more than anything else, I suppose, in that text is that he's not ashamed to call me his son. And we ought not be ashamed to call him our father. Let folks know that. But we are accountable tonight because of the relationship that we have to God. Not only were we bought with a price, but since we weren't born into the family of God, you see, they're an unsaved person is born in a different family. He belongs over in the realm of Satan and the things of this world. Therefore, he's a child of this world and has a different Lord in his life, and that's the devil himself. But in saving us, God adopted us into the family of God, put us in a place that we are fully guaranteed all of the benefits of sonship in our relationship to God. So we have then a unique accountability tonight because we're in the family of God. It does make a difference whenever our Father, as the head of the home, calls us to accountability. And can I say this just in passing, and I won't belabor the point, but for the sake of some whatever young ears might be here tonight, cherish the time that you have with the mother and dad. I would today, my dad died in 1969, he died in December of 69. Now, I don't know how many days I'd have loved to have gone and sit down on the front porch with him and discuss some things that I wish I'd not left undone. But nonetheless, we've been adopted into the family of God with full sonship. Our relationship, and I'll not leave the ladies out because we're speaking in general terms of mankind. We've been adopted into that particular family. Therefore, we're accountable because we've been bought with a price and adopted into the family of God. And believers then are to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, there is just a little statement that's made in this text. We must all. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There's not going to be one of us that gets to get a free ride in this case. Now, the free ride comes because he saved us from our sin. But the accountability, he's going to call every one of us to that place. And it's a place where, of course, our Lord is in charge. But believers are to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we're promised an eternal home in heaven. That's ours. Again, I emphasize to you what a joy it is to be saved by the grace of God tonight. That we might just know the truth and being set free by the truth tonight. I would encourage anybody that might not know the Lord to get acquainted with Him, who can guarantee you something beyond the realm of this life. And it's guaranteed to you. And He'll see that it's carried out. But we are promised an eternal home in heaven. But we are accountable before the things that we do in this body. And you'll notice that it speaks of the body. And the body, of course, is related to this life. I would not be so presumptuous as to be able to give you all the intricacies of the spiritual body. I'm talking about in heaven. I don't know. I'm persuaded of this, that the blood won't be the life of the body there as it is here. I believe the spirit will be the life of the person in heaven, not blood. And it'll make a difference. But we are accountable for the things that are done in this body. And I digress for a moment. Do you realize that if we're ever really going to do anything for the Lord, it's going to be done in this body? I mean, we don't have the capacity nor the ability to enter into, at our whim or will, one of these out-of-the-body experiences. there's very few people that have, and some of them have written about it, others haven't. And I don't know that I have all of the answers nor information about an out-of-the-body experience. I accept what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body or out of the body, I can't really tell. But he said there was such a one caught up to the third heaven, which meant that he got to enter into that place where God himself dwells. And that was Paul himself. He was speaking rather in the abstract so that it would not appear that he was more spiritual than others. I think that Paul had not only that humility in his Christian experience as he had grown in grace and knowledge of the Lord, but I think he was also wise enough to know that he didn't want the attention to be drawn to him, but to the Lord who loved him and died for him. And so there are some things that we need to understand that we do, and we do it in the body. I mean, do you realize even as we pray that we pray in the body? I'm not sure that the brain lives beyond the body at all. In fact, I think probably that sometimes that person in actual fact is at home with the Lord before the body ever ceases to function. Some would remember the name of George Norris, one of my Bible professors and theological professors at Arlington Baptist College, and I appreciate him very much. But I can only give you the testimony that he gave that night. He had cancer. He was dying. He knew that he would die. But almost to the moment, I understand, 30 minutes before the body ceased to function, he turned to his wife and said, I just died. And I'm not sure, but what the Lord took that man's spirit home. He allowed the body to, and he remained conscious in the sense, but it wasn't within 30 minutes he was gone as far as even his body is concerned. So whatever we do, we do in the body. And I'm persuaded if we're going to pray, we're going to pray with a consciousness in this body. If we're going to be able to witness to somebody, somebody has to get there, and the mouth has to get there. Or in Sharon's case, the hands have to get there if you're going to talk to this person. And that means a whole lot more, I think, in the realm of the deaf than it maybe it does in the realm of the hearing. I might not have to move my hands at all to converse with a person that's hearing. But with a deaf person, there's about one way that I know of. Well, there's a couple of ways, and one of them's real slow. And I've talked with a few of the deaf this way. They'd come in and be here ahead of others, and we'd sit down with a tablet, and I'd write something, give it to him, he'd write it, and I'd get it back, and I'd respond to that and carry on a conversation. But that's slow. But whatever we do, we're going to do in the body. If we were to carry our voice or our means of communication to somebody else, it has to be in the body. If you're going to make a call at home, I hope you go in the body. You'll scare them to death otherwise, that you'll go in the body. So this, in this context, we see that we're accountable for our actions in the body. And it makes no difference whether they're good or bad in the sense that of accountability. Now, it does make a difference as to reward. But as far as accountability, if it's good, it's accountable. If it's bad, it's accountable. And I'd just rather stand on the positive side of it. I'd rather answer for the good things and not have so many bad things to have to answer for. But we are accountable for the things that are done in the body. There is either gain or loss, one or the other. Remember the definition of our accountability to a responsible character or a supervisor? And I don't like to use the term because I think that Jesus Christ is more than a supervisor. But I do submit myself to his supervision. And I want him to be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But there is a liability to pay or make good in case of loss. When it's bad, we're going to have to answer to the Lord for it. And if there was loss, then we are responsible for that loss, accountable for it. There is either gain or loss. He's accountable as he hath done, whether it's good or whether it is bad. I've covered the thoughts that I wanted to on the judgment seat of Christ, and I want to just mention it as we go by it and not belabor the point tonight, because I think it's a glorious scene, but it's not a desirable scene. It's described as the great white throne, and it's a judgment. But it's a judgment for unsaved folks. If there's a terrifying thing that is described in the Word of God, it's the judgment at the great white throne. We often think in terms of the up and out, the elite, you know, and we just can't imagine in our minds that they have to be accountable to God. But John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. They were judged out of the things that were written in the book. And then the summation of it all is that they were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible describes this as a second death. And what more could be said about it except a call to repentance? I had far rather appear at the judgment seat of Christ as the believer, even with all of the good, the bad, the things that relate to it, than to have to stand before God in that judgment at the great white throne. I don't know how John felt about it, but I think he probably stood in awe as he got that scene presented to him while he gave us what we call the book of Revelation. And he received it while he was on the Isle of Patmos for preaching the Word of God and for his testimony of Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather stand before him as my Lord than as my judge. And so tonight, whether we like it or whether we don't, whether we desire it or whether we don't, it's not our choice. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to account for, to receive for the things done in this body. If we had time tonight, we could go back into the Bible just a little ways and we'd find out that there are basically two types of works. There are those that will abide the fire and those that won't abide the fire. And the gold, the silver, precious stone, when it comes through, it's tried and it's proven. The wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up. And just to encourage you a little bit, that is even a mercy so that we don't have to deal with it for eternity. That God would take the worst of us and just burn it up and be done with it. But tonight, there is an accountability, and we are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Let's stand together, and we'll be dismissed in word of prayer. Father, I'm grateful tonight for your word. And I'm appreciative of the fact that I'll not have to appear at the great white throne, but I have the privilege of appearing as a child of God, a son of God, at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm conscious that I've been bought with a price, and I'm sure that most everybody, if not everybody that's here tonight, are conscious of the fact that they've been bought with a price. And we're to glorify God in our bodies because we are bought with that price, which was the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. As he gave himself in our place, took everything that was rightfully ours to endure, and he endured for our sakes.